Well, hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And my energy level is super high right now because my guest has like 1,000 times energy. Krista Mayshore, you might know her from her digital marketing prowess. She's also been a top performing realtor for years. And if you're paying attention to this conversation, you will understand a little bit more about where her drive and determination comes from. So I hope you enjoy this very rabbit holey conversation as much as I did. Enjoy, and I'll see you on the other side. You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in. So, Krista, I have to notice your fingernails match lipstick, and I find that too.
Oh, they do.
It's a dedication to your craft, obviously.
This is, I used to wear this color in high school from Wet n Wild. Wet n Wild lipstick.
Oh, I loved Wet n Wild.
Yeah, 99 cents. Remember that? Like, and you use that bright color, but yeah.
And hang on. What was that other cheap brand? It was like New York. Was it New York something?
I don't remember that one. Maybe I'm older than you.
It was in, no, I think I'm older than you, but it was an end cap in McCrory's, which was our Five and Dime in our mall.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. You're so cute.
I love it. Couldn't afford Maybelline or L'Oreal before Clinique came out.
Me either. I was in a foster home in high school. I couldn't afford anything. So Wet n Wild was my jam. Yeah. I haven't lived at home since I was 13.
So did that give you a lot of your drive and determination coming out of that background?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. For sure. Yeah. There was some physical abuse happening in my home with my mom, who now she's amazing and she's helped me heal. And like I see her a couple times a week. She's the most amazing person, but she had some, you know, stuff happen when she was younger, which I won't get into her story, but it caused a lot of physical abuse to me. So 13 years old, left home, ended up in juvenile hall for a couple of months, then ended up in a group home for a year, then sent to a foster home.
So tell me the thing about that experience that drive you at all? Does that drive your foundation? Does it drive your charitable giving? Does it drive where you spend your time? Does it drive how you have become a partner, a parent, any of those things? Like, where do you see it live out loud the most?
You know, it's funny because it's been so long and it just like, it drives everything. It drives, I'm 50 years old. So it drives everything. And I, like, you know, they say, make your mess become your message. So it's really helped me. I can't tell you how many people have said, oh, you're successful, Krista, because you're cute. You know, I'm like, oh, you keep thinking that, like, kick your butt. Nothing to do with that. I'm a hard worker. And I think, you know, when you have a physical abuse from a parent, you're always trying to be liked and you're trying to, like, you want to be accepted. You want people to like you. You want to feel like worthy and valued. So I think I've always been just trying to prove that I'm good enough by my success, if that makes sense. So it was kind of like trying to prove that I was worthy. Sure. Until finally I believed it, if that makes sense. And then I've never anybody asked me, but that's probably the main thing I would say.
But then you land in a business that is full of people who are desperately trying to be liked, and they're desperately out there trying to be something they may or may not be because they think they're supposed to be somebody else. Because in real estate, as you know, as a coach, I mean, you see so many realtors that have completely hidden away who they are, what they've been through in their effort to be somebody else. And then they turn really passive aggressive because they don't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. And so they won't say what they think and they're non-confrontational. And so but at the same time, it's a wildly competitive business. And the minute you let your clients see who you are, they become the raving fans that they were anyway, but they want to support you. They want to elevate you. And so then you get to be seen once you are who you are, instead of trying to be seen for somebody else. It's a very interesting little chicken and egg thing.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if the public understands, like, for realtors, how desperately they want to be liked, how desperately they want to do a really good job, and they get really lost in the details.
Yeah, I will tell you what, real estate is the hardest job I think that there is. And it's so sad because real estate agents are they're not appreciated, right? And the main reason why they're not appreciated is because they're all doing the exact same thing. Like, they, and this sounds terrible. I'm going to get trouble saying this on your show. You can delete it. But I think
this is the honest thing, right? Yeah. I mean, if you don't tell people the hard truth, how are they going to learn from it and grow?
Yes. I think a lot of agents are paid too much. Like, even the ones that are, because they're just doing the same old crap, right? They're putting a sign up, doing broker's tour, which we all know broker's tour is a bunch of BS and it only works. People know more about the houses than the agent themselves, consumers, because they're like little crack addicts trying to find everything else going on. And like open houses, we know, I mean, that's just that, that's again for the agent. It helps them meet the neighbors and maybe brand new looky-loos, but they're not really qualified or even prepared to buy. There's just so many things. It's such an easy barrier to entry in real estate, right? Like it's so easy to get into it, but you can make so much money as a real estate agent if you do it right. So I just think that I'm going on a tangent, but
That's how we roll, you know.
Yeah.
You said it though, it's easy to get in, but it's really hard to survive because a lot of people get in, get the big hit, they got one easy sale, they're like, oh, I got this. And then they didn't do the deep dive of education. They're not focused on consumer behavior or really focused on the details that go into creating a system. And so they can't really sustain it over the long haul, or the ones who get in, never get the big hit, never figure it out, and then vanish out so quickly because it can be an expensive hobby. But the thing I love about the low barrier to entry is that for somebody who doesn't come from a lot of money, they don't come from a heavy educational background, but they're a straight up hustler and they have the discipline to do all the work, you can get into real estate and make a lot of money and have a really great business without having to buy a $300,000 franchise. It's wildly amazing to me. It all depends on the individual though, right? So some people are into the glitz and glamour and some are into the business side and it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's hard. Like I didn't realize how much I worked until I got out of it. And I was like, oh my God, I've like worked my life away. I mean, you know, I was closing the year I left real estate to be a coach full time. I had sold 154 houses myself. I had an assistant and a transaction coordinator.
And what year was that?
That was 4 years ago.
Seven days a week to do that kind of transaction.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't realize that my best year, I sold 169 houses. And I didn't realize how much I was working because it's like your phone is always on. People are always calling you. Like I was the mom that was going down the zip line in Hawaii and I'm on my phone and my kids are like, mom, you're not listening. You're not listening. And they're right. I wasn't, because I was constantly stressed out because there was just, it is one of the hardest jobs out there. If you really care about people and do it right, because there's so many things that can go wrong. And because so many other agents are inexperienced, you're doing their job for them and you've got to be proactive. You've got to be thinking about what they're not thinking of to protect your client and all the other, you know, 18, 25 people that are involved in the transaction. It's just, it is a tough job. And it is so lucrative though, if you can do it correctly.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. How many agents are picking up the other side of a transaction that they're not getting paid the other person's pay. That person's going to get paid what they're getting paid, but they're doing the extra work because it's the way they can take care of people. And goes back to what I was making a halfway joke about, but a totally serious remark about needing to be liked and being passive aggressive, which is how people wind up on their phone 7 days a week because they can't say no. Mm-hmm. And I know why realtors can't say no. They are panicked that something's going to go wrong or that somebody else is unhappy. And then they wind up letting their own life go into a tailspin because they get so laser beam focused on being the best realtor possible. They let go of the kids and the spouse and the hobbies and the best friends and the life. And then what do you do with all that money? So you had your best year ever was 169 houses without another agent, with just somebody helping you, not just somebody. That sounds ugly. Our administrative people are ridiculously amazing. So with somebody shoring you up on paperwork, but not in the depth of the relationships. So did you make a lot of money that year? And how much of it did you enjoy though?
Okay. So that year I did not enjoy it at all. And that was back when I was doing selling foreclosures you know, you'd have to do a BPO and you're like red, green, yellow. And so I was like, and then you'd, you know, spend 2.5 hours on a BPO and then the system would break down. You'd be like, F me.
Save any of your work because their systems are bank systems. They don't save any work.
Oh God. So yeah, remember that? So it's like, it was,
so I guess talking about ResNet. You just took me back to my ResNet flashback.
Yes.
ResNet with all its stupid little tabs. By the way, public, what she's talking about, a BPO is a broker price opinion. As a realtor who handles a bank property, we have to do their forms, which are this long, or we have their website, which has 1,000 little tabs on it. And I'm having straight up stress come into my life right now thinking about this.
Thinking of it.
Anyway,
I'd rather be a stripper in Vegas and I'd make no money than ever have to sell foreclosures again. Like it was, oh my God, speaking of funny stories, and I know you love funny stories. So one time I walk into one of my foreclosures, right? Because you have to check them every week. And so sometimes I checked them because it was close to my house.
Sure.
Walk into this, to my listing, and there's all of a sudden there's like a pair of shoes at the bottom of the stairs. And I was like, Then I go up and then there's like a shirt. And then I go up a little bit more and there's a pair of pants. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on here? So I go into the master bedroom and there is this 300-pound man in the shower showering. And I swear to God, he just had a quickie and he used the place to have an affair. I'm certain of it. And so he sees me and he starts running. Wait, wait. And he's like, puts his towel. And he's like running after me. And I'm like, no. Like, it's fine. There. Yeah, it's fine. And I was just like, oh, first of all, I don't even know why I didn't run. I should have ran, you know, from there. Another
you were probably shocked. A 300-pound naked man is not something
yes,
you won't like, stare at for a while.
Yeah, sitting there, I'm just like, oh my gosh. Another time in a foreclosure, you remember how dangerous it was, Lee? Like, it was.
I mean, I carry concealed and I also carried open in the foreclosure days because I wanted people to know I was armed.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one time there was two like squatters living in the attic.
Of course.
And they came down with picks. They had picks and they were like literally going to, like, they were cracked out. And I was like, hey, you say, you do what you want to do, you know? I left them. One time I almost got eaten by this huge like pit bull and I had to go check the house and try to get into it, see if anyone was in there. The craziest stuff happened at during
Hang on, where was this? Is this in Tennessee? That's where you're doing foreclosures?
No, I was doing it in Northern California. So I live in Northern California in Brentwood. Like, I'm in between
Sacramento. I think you're in Nashville.
Yeah, no, I don't know. No, I'm in between Sacramento and San Francisco.
In my head, you were in Nashville, but I guess you're a couple time zones away from that. So, okay, so here
we go. Yes. So, yeah.
So we should probably clarify, audience, foreclosures are vacant. And so finding the clothing in the naked man is slightly unexpected. And then problematic. Yeah, that kind of matches the opposite of one of mine had a squatter in the crawl space where they had pulled power over from next door and a hose and made a clothesline. This is my favorite part. They had power and water, jury-rigged, of course. But the most important thing to them was they had strung up a clothesline and had their clothes on hangers.
Oh my gosh, that's so
I'm funny. Like, you're in a crawl space. And the police were like, what do you want us to do? What do you mean what I want you to do? Please make them out.
When you could, but remember then you had to pay them to get out because they couldn't get out. I'm going through that right now. Right now I've got one of my own rentals and the people are not getting out. I have to formally evict them. I'm just like, oh my gosh, the eviction days. That was hard, you know, doing that and knock on people's doors and
I know, because you want to believe the best in mankind and you want to help people, but some of the people that we have to evict aren't the best of mankind and they are not down on their luck. They are not
the system
people you want to hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
So can you evict somebody in California right now? And for friends who might be watching this rando, this is June of 22 when we're recording this.
Yeah, it depends upon the reasoning. So you can, if you're going to, you can't evict them if they're not paying. And these people aren't paying, but that's not where we're evicting them. We're evicting them because of a family circumstance. My daughter needs a place to stay. So we're trying to get her into there. And because of that, we're allowed to evict them. So yeah,
wait, back that up. So you can't evict them by normal standards, but if you own the property and you want to use it yourself, you can evict them?
Yeah, that's what my attorney said. I hired a great attorney. He said, yeah. So, I've got to go through the eviction process. But you know, that goes, they can go to court. They can tell this, oh, judge, blah, blah, blah. And then he gives them another 6 months. It's like, it's really unfair, honestly, to the landlords, you know?
It really is, because everybody I know who's a landlord, if their tenants are down on their luck, man, they dig in and work with them, put together a plan and help figure it out. The people who, though, cause such a ruckus are the ones who know the laws better than the landlords do. They know exactly what they can do to stay in the property. Like, we have a property where the tenant keeps filing bankruptcy because that allows him to stay in the property. And I don't even want to know what that bankruptcy attorney's charging them, but it's things you don't expect. And you really do want to do the best thing for people. Like what we said earlier, realtors like to please people.
Yeah.
So yeah. I want to know something, though. So you made a transition from selling a ton of real estate to coaching realtors. What caused that transition and how's it going? And what have you learned in that process?
So I was a real estate agent. It's been 21 years now. And I was always in the top 1% of realtors nationwide. My niche was digital marketing. So my niche was digital marketing, social media, using video. And I didn't do open houses. I didn't cold call, didn't door knock, didn't do any of that. I just kind of, that was attraction-based business. And I just got to a point where I was reading this book, Think and Grow Rich. And for the past couple of years, people were saying, Krista, you should be a coach. You know, you should be a coach. I'd heard it. You're so inspiring, blah, 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 blah. So I'm reading this book, Think and Grow Rich. And it's like, you know, the universe tells you you're calling. And when it talks to you, you need to listen, but most people don't listen. And so I was like, oh, I'm doing it. Right. So, and it was crazy because I mean, and I was making over $1 million a year GCI, you know, and my parents were like, Krista, we love you, but normal people at 45 do not leave their current job making over $1 million a year. And I changed careers. Like, we love you, but no one's going to pay you to be a coach. But I didn't listen. Right. And I went ahead and did it and it's going great. I mean, I've been doing it for 4.5 years now. I have over 1,000 students right now, and we do over $1 million a month in coaching. So before it was $1 million a year, now it's $1 million a month, but it took me about 2.5 years to become profitable. So the first couple of years I was still selling real estate, right? So my team was doing it. My brother, he actually was acting as me, and we had a full-time TC and a full-time marketing assistant or part-time marketing assistant. And so I was just kind of managing them, making sure that they were kind of keeping things afloat. And so I take the money from there to pay for my coaching and to keep it going. It's hard starting a new business. And a lot of times I was like, why did I do this? Like, this is hard. Why did I change? You know, now I used to be a teacher. So I'm doing what I love. I love teaching people. So for me, it's like super fun. So that's the reason why I wanted to change.
So let's talk about that for a second, because we know that in a world of, well, not a world, but in a country of 1.6 million realtors and another million who are licensees who aren't mm-hmm. members of the association, there are people everywhere trying to make a living off of realtors who say, oh, well, if Krista can be a coach, I can be a coach. And so I want you to explain why you have reached success and what makes you different and what people don't know about the coaching business that maybe should have them think two times before they hang a shingle out. Because I, for one, get really irritated by the number of coaches in our business that haven't physically done real estate themselves. They haven't lived on a 1099. They don't know what it's like to have to recreate your business all the time. And so they're out there. You're out there. What differentiates you and what should people consider about the difficulty of creating a business out of education?
Yeah. So, you know, that saying, for those that don't know how to do, they teach, right? Like that's a lot of the times, right? I suck in real estate. I can't do it. So I'm going to teach people how to suck in real estate and how to do it. So I think, first of all, I've done it. I've sold over 2,300 homes in my career. So I've definitely done it. And I'm very relevant and still, you know, involved in the day-to-day interactions of what's happening in the market and what everyone needs. But I have spent like just this year alone, over $100,000, gosh, way more than that, on my own personal coaching. So I'm constantly getting coached by the best digital marketers, by the best, and they're not real estate coaches. They're business coaches, sales and persuasion coaches. They're digital marketing coaches, social media coaches, these coaches that to really master marketing. And I think that one of the biggest key components that most agents are missing is marketing. And so I say, be a marketer first and then top producer second. You know, every business, the backbone and the blood of every business is marketing. So we teach them how to market themselves in a different way by adding value. I call it serving, not selling, and just helping the people really, really being community focused and focusing on the community, focusing on helping people, interviewing local businesses, interviewing local restaurants, talking about what's near, you know, all the things to do in the town, and like really just becoming the face of their city. And then once they then get that client, we also give them, like, I'll give you an example. This is one of the things that we give our students. We teach them how to create like a gorgeous, beautiful marketing plan. And just, you know, we really teach them how to be just different than their competitors. And just to really give people what they deserve, which is amazing service and great knowledge. And like I was talking about how lucrative being real estate is. As I taught third grade for 6 years, I had a master's degree in education. And I started out making $30,000. Well, after 6 years, because of I was in need of about $60,000 a year, okay, as a full-time teacher. My best month as a real estate agent, I did $360,000 in commission. My best month, right? So there are so many realtors, like you said, like around 3 million ish between the two. And they're all doing the same. They're doing the exact same thing. They're not standing out. They're not educating themselves. So therefore the only thing, they're commoditized. So the only thing that they can do is continue to lower their price. But what I have always done in my own personal career, both in real estate and in coaching, and what I teach my students to do is to don't lower your price, up your value. Like show you that go. You are so that. Different. Yeah, show how different you are. And don't tell, show. And when somebody raises their hand to go on a listing, before you even go to that listing, we do like 15 things. Drop off a marketing plan, drop off a seller guide, drop off a 17-minute, you know, marketing video. But all these things to ensure that before we even get there, like we've already won the appointment. And I think a lot of agents aren't willing to do that.
Well, especially the last 2.5 years, this whole sector has been on fire, and to win a listing has been tricky. And so sellers, a lot of them have decided, you know, I can do by owner because I don't see a value here. And so you got to go back to what you were saying before, where people are paying dollars for the service of a realtor, but what are they getting in return? And sometimes it's like you said, you got to show all the value before you ever meet them. And too many realtors are waiting till they get there. And I actually blame some of our old real estate coaching, which always said a realtor earns their keep between contract and closing. And while there may be a whole bunch of pitfalls and things that could go wrong in that time frame, and you definitely work your tail off in that time frame, as the consumer's behavior changes, you're going to have to earn your dollars before you meet the person in the first place. And you don't know who that person's going to be. So how do you prove your value to the whole world? And I think it goes back to what we all click on. Like, what do we watch as videos? Who are we learning from? And if we're just learning from other realtors, that's great. You'll get great information, but you've got to go outside of that space. And yes. I love that you mentioned Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, because that book's from like 1922 or 23 or something. So here it's 100 years old. Wildly relevant, wildly amazing, will totally make you think. And did you read his book? I should have just remembered the name of it. It just flew out of my head, but it's it came out posthumously, and his wife told him not to.
Yes. The Devil Book.
Yeah, it's the Devil. What's the name of it?
I actually have the audio. I love it. It's like
I have the physical. I like the sniff books, which sounds weird, but yeah. Really not that weird. It's on my table at home because I've read it a few times, and it's so powerful. So
yeah, you should definitely get
the audio. Write that in the comments. Give us the name of the book in the comments, because we're very intelligent middle-aged women who have forgotten. So anyway,
you've got to listen to the audio because it's like the devil talking in his voice.
And in different voices.
It's so cool. Yeah. And he sounds all, you know, devilish. And so I recommend it. I love all of his books. Like
what are you reading right now? Like, you've read all the big things and you are the coach now. So what are you reading personally?
I can't even listen to it. I don't listen to Smut. Well, right now I'm reading Superfans by Pat Flynn.
I love that book. Oh my gosh. I know why you're reading that. Are you reading Derek Evall's book, YouTube Formula?
No, I'm not reading that one. So, like, if you look here, you can see my
book. He's like the king of YouTube. And he says in the book that he won't talk to anybody and do an eval or coaching call or anything if they haven't read Superfans.
Oh, so really? I didn't know that.
A really great way to determine who should work with you is, will they do the homework? It's a really powerful breed.
Yeah. I love reading, like, 48 Laws of Power, Psycho-Cybergenetics, Think and Grow Rich, Extreme Ownership.
What is cybergenetics?
Oh my gosh, you have got to read it. So this is all about brain science. So it's, here, I'll show you.
Oh.
So this is about how the brain works. So I'm actually writing it here. See, Psycho-Cybergenetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz.
Psycho-Cybergenetics. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm a very big, like, reasons why things happen. I'm very huge on mindset. I'm really big mindset focused. I always say mindset is more important than skill set, because with a mindset, you could do anything. And I think that's part of the reason why, you know, I've had the successes, because I've really had to work on my mind. Like, when you're grow up being abused by a parent, it's like you're mentally screwed up, right? So I've had to, like, completely. So I'm reading all these things, and man, the power of our brains and what we can do, it's unbelievable. So you just got to keep it positive and believe in yourself. One of the success principles from Napoleon Hill, like, strong belief, have a great burning desire and reason why you want to do things. And it's amazing what can happen.
Have you ever read David Goggins' book, Can't Hurt Me?
Yep, that's on here too.
Every time you say mindset, I'm like, David Goggins is my man. My dream is to have him at one of my events as a keynote speaker. So I'm working on that.
He's a beast, huh? He is a beast.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He's so hardcore. Okay, obviously we could sit here and ramble around forever. And I would love for you, my episodes stay short because we know everybody has ADD.
I totally
get it. So give them the one thing that, if you're going to succeed in Krista's coaching, what's the one thing you have to be committed to doing? One thing. I know you give them thousands of things, but you know, realtors aren't at focus. So give them one thing.
Video. Got to be committed to doing video. And then
if you won't do video, don't spend any money on Krista. But if you will do video, then she's worth every penny, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's more than just video. It's how you distribute it. So you've got to do the video and then make sure it's actually being seen, which is a huge part. And I'll just say this. Everybody is afraid of video. They're afraid of what they look like, their sound like, they're going to make a mistake. Are people going to like them? I mean, there's every excuse in the book, and only the weird people in the world like to do video. Like, you might be one of the weird people. I'm sorry if you ask 100 people. Yeah, we're weird. But I mean, have you always liked to do it?
It takes a long time. It's like everything else in life. You have to grow a muscle by repetitions and reps every single day.
Yes. But I will tell you, I have two multimillion dollar businesses and video is the backbone behind both of them. 1000%.
But what's the other one? You got the coaching business. What else is making you all your money?
Well, EXP. Well, actually, three. So yeah, I'm on the road.
Oh, okay.
Not yet with EXP, but we're doing really great. But my real estate business is, you know, over $1 million a year in commission. Coaching business is over $1 million a month, right? And in sales coming in. And both video. It's like, you know, you're winning before you arrive, basically. And it just helps. Yeah. Yeah. Gives you the competitive edge.
Winning before you arrive. Maybe that can be the title of our episode. So Krista, if somebody wants to reach out to you about all the things that you're doing so they can come learn from you to execute, how's the best way for them to find you?
Yes, we do a virtual boot camp twice a month and it's live. And if you just go to KristaMayshore.com/bootcamp podcast, that's KristaMayshore.com/bootcamp podcast. Then you'll be able to attend. It's 2 days and actually, it's two and a half days. And it's me teaching it. And we talk all about digital marketing and social media and video and how to really, really have a unique selling, like being unique and different so that you stand out.
Awesome. Well, there you go, guys. All of the links to Krista's programs are in the show notes for this episode. I'm sure you've already added to the comments the books that we couldn't think of and the books that you're reading too. So add that in, give Krista some high fives. And thanks so much for coming on the show. And thanks for actually being a little bit vulnerable at the beginning as we dug into the direction you didn't expect us to go in. So, hey.
Thanks for having me. I love you. I think you're so cute. I love your realness and you're so funny. And I just love what you're doing helping agents. So, you know, kudos to you. Thanks for having me.
Sir, from coast to coast. That's what we're here for. So thank you, friends, for tuning in. We'll see you around. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.